introduce our missionary, missionary Josh Lovelace. And I have known Josh, I think, has it been like 16 years or something like that? Yeah, long time. When they first went, were going out on the mission field to Cambodia, and just a blessing. He's done this a few times, and we're just excited. So Josh, won't you come and share what the Lord is doing, and bless you, my friend.
Well, good morning. It's great to be here with you in Warsaw. Thank you so much, Pastor Chad, for this opportunity. I was driving up from Springfield this morning just thankful for the rain. How many are thankful for a little bit of rain? It's been hot. It's felt like Cambodia the last couple of weeks with this heat. And it made me think of a story of just when it's 100 degrees, that's what Cambodia is about every day because we're in the tropics. A couple of years ago, I was sitting down and talking to our daughter. She's 14 now, but I think she was about 9 at the time. And it was a very hot day. It was in the evening. I sat down next to her on her bed. We have these little small air conditioner units in the house just to absorb some of the humidity. And it was still very hot. And I just said, Emma, I'm thankful that we have a few air conditioners here in our house. And she said, Dad, when you were little, when you were growing up, did you have an air conditioner in your house? And I said, no, I didn't. I grew up in the country. We would just open the windows, turn on a few fans. We didn't have one when I was your age. But I said, the great thing about it was along the walls where the wall and the floor comes together, we had a few heaters so it would keep the house warm during the wintertime. She got so confused and she looked at me and said, Dad, what's a heater? This was a little girl who'd grown up her whole life on the mission field in the tropics. Didn't know what a heater was, but she knew what heat was, that's for sure. So it was good to have a little bit of rain this morning, and it's good to be with you folks here in Warsaw. Well, as Pastor Chad said, our family, we serve in Cambodia, in Southeast Asia, and we arrived on the field in 2010, and now we're traveling around and just connecting with our churches and sharing about all that God is doing in Southeast Asia. During this last term, it was very interesting with the pandemic going on. In our neck of the woods, we went through massive lockdowns and martial law, military rule, curfews, you name it, we went through it. It just felt like sometimes we were chained up, but to God's glory, we were able to get through it, continuing on with ministry at the Bible school where we serve. But you know, when I think about everything that happened with the pandemic, especially in 2020 and 2021, even though it felt like chains at times and limitations with all the mandates, when I think about the Buddhist world, everything in Southeast Asia, that's where we see the very strong spiritual chains and the bondage that just doesn't seem to go away. And right now, throughout our fellowship, the Assemblies of God, we're trying to bring more awareness to what is happening in the Buddhist world. Through the years, we've had an emphasis on Muslim ministries and different ways that we as Christians can understand more about how to share our faith with people of Muslim backgrounds. But now, we're trying to do more to bring relevance and understanding about what the Buddhist world is like. And we have a new initiative that's called Change the Map. Because if you look at Southeast Asia, all throughout Thailand, Cambodia, Vietnam, Laos, and Myanmar, you see the strongest, most dark regions of the world when it comes to spiritual bondage because of Buddhism. And this morning, I want to begin just by showing a quick video of our initiative that we have called Change the Map to give a little bit of perspective of what it's like when you go to the temples, when you hear the chanting, when you smell the incense, and really the world in which we live, and the world that we need to reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Dan, if you show us the video, please, of Change the Map in the Buddhist World.
Thank you. In the year 1813, Adoniram Judson, a missionary to Burma, looked over thousands of temples and pagodas and spoke these prophetic words. Weep over your falling temples. Retire from the scenes of your past greatness. The churches of Jesus will soon supplant these idolatrous monuments, and the chantings of Buddha will die away before the Christian hymn of praise. Judson did not live to see the fulfillment of this prophecy. After 200 years of missionary labor, Buddhism still looks as strong and immovable as the fortress of Jericho did. The gospel impact on the Buddhist world seems like small cracks in these walls that have stood for hundreds and in some places even thousands of years. Nearly 1 billion people live imprisoned by Buddhism and its demanding rituals. Places like Laos, Myanmar, and Vietnam are less than 5% Christian, with Thailand, Nepal, Cambodia, Japan, and others with less than 1%. Something has to change. As we circle these massive walls, we know that powerful, fervent prayer is the key to seeing them crumble. Focused intercession has the power to kick down doors, to break chains, to set the captives free. Will you march with an army of prayer warriors for the Buddhist world? Your prayers can change a heart, change a city, change a nation, and change the map.
Before you leave today, I'd like you to stop by a table we have in the back just to pick up one of our little cards that says, Pray for Cambodia, just to pray about the Buddhist world. When you hear about places that have millions and millions of people and only some small pockets of a few hundred or a few thousand Christians, something does need to change. And this is where we're praying to change the map, because like I said, if you look at a map of world religions, you look at Southeast Asia, that is the heart of Buddhism, but we're believing that the gospel will continue to go forward, lives will be changed, and that the chains will be broken. Amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bible, please turn with me today to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And as you're turning there, I just want to say thank you so much for all that your church is doing to support missionaries, to support different missions projects. As Pastor Chad said, next month your church is having a special emphasis, and I would just encourage you to be a part of that. But thank you for all that you do in giving and praying and being a part of what your church is doing all around the world. We can make a difference. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2, this morning, if you'll look with me, verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says to us, You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me this morning? Lord, we thank you for your Word. We know that your Word is living, it is active, it is powerful. In these moments, we pray that you would speak to us, that you would challenge us, that you would convict us, and that, Lord, as we hear your word, we would not just be hearers, but as we go from this place, we would be people who put your word into practice, both as hearers and doers, and we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You think about this passage here in this letter. This is the last letter that we have that was written by the Apostle Paul. He had traveled throughout the Mediterranean, 3 missionary trips, and then a trip to Rome. He was now in prison, awaiting to be killed for his faith. And these are the last things that he wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy. He reminded him of some of the important things, especially of what he had received from Paul, what he had received from others. And he reminded him by saying, Timothy, those things that you've received, you have to pass on to others. Because when you think about our journey as Christians, it's not just about what we receive, but there's an important side that we take what we've received and we pass it on to others. When you look at other religions around the world, you see that people become Buddhists or Muslims or Hindus simply by being born into those families. But when you look at Christianity, it's different. Because Christianity is a religion of action. People receive, then they pass on to others. They hear something, they share it with others. They receive and they go somewhere to tell others what they've received. That is the uniqueness of Christianity. And that's what Paul is saying to Timothy here. He's saying, Timothy, the things that you heard from me, they're not just for you, but you are to pass on to the next generation so that that generation can pass on to the next and to the next and to the next. And folks, when you think about it, all of us that are in this room here today, all of us are here because at one point in time, someone passed on the message of Jesus Christ. We're not here by simple chance, but at one point in time in all of our lives, someone shared the message with us. Someone shared the gospel. But now we have to ask ourselves, that which we've received, what are we doing with it? Is it just for us, or are we passing it on? It was something that Paul reminded of Timothy shortly before he gave his life as a martyr for the gospel. When we think about our perspective, where we serve in Cambodia, the Buddhist world, a place that is very, very unreached. Yes, there have been missionaries. Yes, there have been churches, but still we see very, very small pockets of Christianity. But we see people that are starting to understand what they are receiving, they must pass on to others. That's how we see the kingdom of God advance. It doesn't happen by chance, but it's about people receiving, taking the message, passing on to others. That's how we see growth. Like I said, it's about action. It's fitting that we have a book in the Bible called the Book of Acts. Shows that what the apostles did, they were people of action, people who were involved, not in just one place, but continually passing on to others. The story of Cambodia, the history, it's not so much of having the gospel for a long time, but it's simply of a story of people surviving through the horrors of war, the tragedies of what happened throughout the 1970s, the 1980s. I'm sure some of you will remember how Cambodia came on the international scene during the time of the Vietnam War, and how in 1975 there was an overthrow of the government in Cambodia led by a group known as the Khmer Rouge, a leader known as Pol Pot. They went about systematically putting people into camps, workplaces, and even systematically killing their own people. It's estimated that over 2 million Cambodians were killed in just over 3 years. Guys, if you would show the first picture for us that we have today, you can still go to the places that are known as the killing fields. This is one of the many places. You can see the contours in the ground, the places where the mass graves were held. This place is just a few miles from my house. At this one place, they say about 17,000 people were killed. There are hundreds of places like this throughout Cambodia. The crisis didn't stop with just the genocide, but it continued on with those who did survive. If you've been following what happened in Ukraine and what's still happening, you've heard about the refugee crisis. Millions of people displaced from Ukraine, going to other parts of Europe. It's something that Cambodia went through a couple of decades ago. If you'll see the picture here, you see one refugee camp. This is what it was like all along the border of Cambodia and Thailand. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people displaced following the genocide. You can see it's not very protective when it's 95 degrees every day. You can see that it's also very susceptible to the world's deadliest creature, the mosquito, bringing in dengue fever, yellow fever, malaria. Places like this, you look at through the 70s, 80s, and even into the 90s, and you begin to wonder, how is God going to work in a place like that? We hear stories of places where the gospel flourishes. Millions of people become believers, but then you hear the other side of the story following war, and genocide, and displacement. That's when we really have to ask ourselves, what are we going to do in those places, the hard places that have never been reached? But you know, folks, it's amazing, even as we were singing during worship, just thinking of how, even when we can't see what God is doing, how many know that God is still moving? He works in ways that are seen, that are unseen, that are natural, that are supernatural. He is always, always working. And even in places like this, the refugee camps, God was working among small pockets of believers. And this morning I want to just share a brief story of a young man, of how he came from the border camps, and now how God is using him, this young man named Kim Han. He was born at that very refugee camp that I showed you along the border of Cambodia and Thailand in the early 1990s. His father was a soldier. He never had any relationship with him because his father was always off still fighting the Khmer Rouge throughout the 1990s. His mother passed away a couple of years after he was born. Here he is growing up in Cambodia, a war following all the years of war and genocide, displacement. Now he has no parents, just surviving day to day at the border camps. Some of his family members realized we need to find a place for this young man, a place where he can have somewhat of a normal upbringing, a normal life. At this time, throughout the 1990s, orphanages were popping up all over Cambodia because of the massive crisis of orphans. You had landmine catastrophes, post-genocide catastrophes, famine catastrophes, so you had thousands and thousands of orphans or people like Kim Han that they had no one to take care of them. So his family began to look for a place, and they went to the southern part of Cambodia. They found a place in Kampong Sam province that had a few orphanages. They went to one of the orphanages. It was a Buddhist orphanage. They had all of his paperwork, everything ready. But as they took him there, for some reason, Kim Han wasn't accepted. Even though they were accepting all these other children, the Buddhist monk said, no, we cannot receive this child. So his family went to another part of the province and they found another orphanage. It just so happened that it was a Christian Assemblies of God orphanage receiving children. They welcomed Kim Han. They took him, began to raise him there. He had gone through so much as a young man. All the things that he had seen following the war and genocide, not having a parent, to take time just to raise him and teach him the basics of life. He was traumatized, fearful. But it was there in the orphanage he began to hear about Jesus. At a young age, he gave his heart to Jesus. Began to realize that God had somehow miraculously protected him from the border camp, to not allowing him to be raised in a Buddhist orphanage, but now being raised in a Christian orphanage. He began to see that maybe God had a plan for him in a way that he could make a difference in his broken nation. He went through his years of school, and everything that he did, it was just like God had blessed him. When he began to learn English, he learned it quickly. When he began to play music, he could play guitar and keyboard, all of his other subjects. You could just see the hand of God on this young man and everything that he did. And when he was 18, he graduated from the school at the orphanage, and he was sent to live in Phnom Penh, the capital city, in the year 2010. And it was just so happens that at the same time he was arriving in Phnom Penh to go to university, our family arrived in Cambodia at that same time. And I met Kim Han just a few weeks after we arrived on the ground in Cambodia. My first impression of him was he was a jokester and a prankster, always loving to joke around and tease people. You can see by his smile, he's always loving to have fun and joke around. And so I began to spend some time with him and just learn more about him and his background and some of the orphans that grew up with him. But there was something special about Kim Han. You could just see God's grace on him. He went through his years at university in Phnom Penh. And one day he came to me and he just said, "Josh, I just think there's so much more that God wants to do in my life. And I think I want to study at our Bible school to become a minister of the gospel." He said, "You know, I've seen so much of what's happened in Cambodia, all of the horrors, the problems, and the pains. And if God can use me in any way, I simply want to serve my people and to share the gospel message with them." So we received Kim Han as one of our students at our Assemblies of God Bible School. He went through his years of Bible school. He graduated at the top of his class. And after he graduated, he said, "You know, Josh, I think there's just still so much more that God wants to do with me, and especially here at the Bible school. Do you think there's any way that I could maybe be a part of helping teach and train some of our students here?" And I said, "Absolutely." So I took Kim Han aside and began to mentor him and train him even more and prepare him to do teaching, to be a part of our Bible school staff. This was during all the time of COVID, so we're trying to be quite secretive and doing things underground, but God was providing ways and means that we could continue to have class and serve in different ways. And so Kim Han and I began to teach together. In our first class that we were teaching, some days I would teach, other days he would teach. And on the days that he would teach, I would just sit at the back of the classroom and I began to think about this young man and his story. Thinking of how this is a young man who grew up in a broken nation. He grew up in a border camp as a refugee in his own country. He grew up in a country where there were more landmines than people. And somehow God miraculously kept his hand on him, directed him from place to place, and now here he is, a minister of the gospel, teaching and preaching and serving and making a difference among the Khmer people of Cambodia. And thinking of his story and how so many others like him, of how God is using to make a difference. Because whenever I would talk to Kim Han, it wasn't just about what can I get, what can I receive, what can I do to make a name for myself, but it was simply what can I receive so I can pass on to others. Realizing the urgent times that we have, realizing the time is now to share the gospel in whatever way we can. Everything we receive, we pass on to others so they can pass on to others and we can see growth and we can see the kingdom of God advance. And for Kim Han, it didn't stop there. Not just going to Bible school, not just teaching and preaching. But another day he came to me and just said, "Josh, I want to continue to go on to the next step." And I said, "What's the next step? You've done all these things." And he said, "Is there any way I can work and now do a graduate degree, do a Master of Arts, maybe at one of our schools?" So I began to look at different options of what we could do for Kim Han. One of our Assemblies of God seminaries in the Philippines. Began to put things together and line it up little by little so that Kim Han could study, go to the Philippines, take classes, and then come back to Cambodia. Began to put it all together, and we could see how once again God's hand and favor was on Kim Han. It was just a few weeks ago, I was at a church, and I looked down, and I got a message from Kim Han, and he said, "Josh, everything is ready. I'm flying to the Philippines this next week. I'm going to be starting my classes, working on my master's degree, so I can keep coming back to Cambodia, teaching, preaching, training others, making a difference here in the kingdom of God." Because it's not just about what we can receive, but what we can pass on to others and make a difference. When I look at Kim Han, I know that he is a living testimony of the grace of God. I can't understand why everything happened in Cambodia in the 1970s and 80s and 90s. I can't answer all the questions of the genocide and the displacement and all of the tragedies. But I can still see God's hand working. I can see how he's working in this young man and many like him, being trained, being equipped, and going out and making a difference in the kingdom of God. And like I said earlier, for all of us that are here, we're here because at one point, someone shared the message of Christ with us. And now we have to ask ourselves today, what will I do with the gospel of Jesus Christ? We might not all travel to Southeast Asia, but how many know simply around Warsaw there are places that we can reach? There are people who need to hear there's a difference that can be made. And it simply comes down to our willingness, our availability. Thinking about Kim Han, he had a willingness and ability. He could have done many things with his life, but he realized simply, what can I do with the gospel and how can I make a difference where I am? And that's basically where we are today. The opportunity that God has given us to make a difference in the kingdom of God. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me this morning? Lord, we thank you for how you are working all around the world. Thank you for what you're doing in places like Cambodia. We thank you for living testimonies like Kim Han. And Lord, for all of us that are here, I just pray that you would move on our hearts to do even more. The things that we have received that we would pass on to others. We pray that you would help us to be people of action, people that make a difference in your kingdom. We pray as we go from this place that, Lord, you would remind us that we are your servants, that we are your ambassadors, we are your hands and your feet. And we just pray for your continued blessing on your people, on this church, as we serve you and as we serve others. And we give you the glory, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Josh and his family have been there in Cambodia for a number of years. Josh, would you mind standing? We can pray for you and your family. I'm just going to ask you, church, to extend your hands, and let's ask the Lord to move and minister and to continue to equip and to continue to help them pass that on. The gospel, we didn't author the gospel, but we are to be owners of it. In other words, we take it as it's ours because it's the grace of God to us. And our friend and brother, he's answered that call, and I'm sure there's things that have gone on and difficulties and so we're just going to ask God to bless. Josh, Carmen, his wife, and you have two kids, right? And bless both their kiddos and just to guide them and to lead them. Pray with me. Father, thank you for our friends. And Lord, would you empower them and would you equip them and would you continue to help them pass on this wonderful, wonderful message of the gospel. Lord, give them creative ways. Help them, Lord, as he trains up leaders. Lord, speak through him and into those young people's lives, those young leaders. And Lord, empower them so they can do the same. Lord, we give you the praise. Touch Josh and his family, his wife, and their relationship and their marriage. Bless their kiddos. Encourage them, speak to them, Lord, and begin to direct their kids and what you would have them to do in the coming future. Let your hand just be upon them. Lord, you are always working. We give you the praise for that. So God, in this season, I ask that your hand would be upon them as strong as it ever has been. And Lord, that you would empower them by the Holy Spirit to do what you have called them to do, to be right where you want them to be, and to be a blessing. We thank you, Lord, and we ask your favor upon them. In Jesus' precious and mighty name, amen. Amen. Well, Josh is going to be at the table here in just a moment after we're done after we receive an offering. And so make sure that you stop back there. He's got a prayer card for you. Yeah, he's going to make his way now. So ushers, come on up.